This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get ready, Afghanistan. It's time for Jumpin' Jovial Johnny Jab on Radio Free Afghanistan.
Hey, baby, it's 6 after 6. Jumpin' Jovial Johnny Jab on the air here right now. We'll check the traffic out there. Rudy got the chat with Jimmy Dickey. And Jimmy, tell me about that going on there. You know, you gotta get started good. Okay, welcome. God, come on, stop that. Drive me nuts with that music, you know. Hey, listen, we got Osama bin Laden is on, is what, line two? Let me pick him up right now. What's up with you right now?
You know, just hanging out, just trying to live.
Yeah, your ass is up to so much trouble right now, eh? You know, American looking for you. Eastern Alliance looking for you.
I know.
Where are you, Pakistan?
Yeah, I'm over here with, with Benny and some of the guys right now.
Oh, okay. You tell him I said hello, okay?
I sure will.
So you're over in Pakistan, huh? Where, Islamabad?
I'm not going to tell you what I...
Oh, come on, man. Everybody looking for you.
I know. They're looking for me. They're going to stick my head on the end of a stick. They find me, you know.
You screwed up, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, just say it. Say it to you. You screwed up. Say it.
I don't know what it was.
You blew it, man. I mean, everything you do is nuts. You know, you fly the planes in the building. You blew it, didn't you? Come on, say it.
Yeah, I blew it.
You blew it, that's right. Now you got everybody look for they want to put your head on stick. Johnny Walker is here. You want to talk to Johnny?
Oh, Jesus, not him.
Yeah, Johnny's... Come on in, John.
Hi.
John Walker. These
American Taliban is stupidest ass. God.
Now, come on, don't get angry.
But you said you're not bringing...
No, don't get angry. Now, come on, John, sit down. How you doing?
I'm good.
So, John Walker, you are American, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask him a question.
Okay, Osama wants to ask you a question. Put the headphones on.
They're going like this?
No, you put them over your ears. They don't... Look at this stupid...
He's a dumbass. I tell...
Just hold on, Osama. Put him on.
Why did you do it? Why'd you come and you mess us up?
I want to fight for Taliban.
Yeah, you stupid ass. And you tell the CIA everything.
I want to fight for Taliban.
Are you a retard?
What?
He's a retard, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, we knew that. We first saw he's covered in mud. He doesn't even know how to bathe. Jesus, come on.
Well, you're something else, too. Look, Drew Barrymore is going to join us a little bit later on to find out about divorce. We're going to see what's going on there with burger salesman, caca, lipstick, nail polish, all this stuff. Coming up here on the Jumpin' Jovial Johnny Jabba Show. Hey, let's check it out now. Go to traffic here. And Jimmy Ricky. Jimmy, what's going on out there right now?
Right on the east side right now. The guys are out. Ow! I just ran over my foot. Let's hear you, traffic!
Hi, my name is Ed. Come down to Ed's Burka Sales. We don't have any for sale right now. What we've got are lipstick. We've got a wonderful selection of Sylvester Stallone videos. All kinds of marvelous things to get Afghanistan up and running. That's Ed. I used to be Mohammed. Changed my name, changed my look. Same sign, same location. 15th downtown Kabul.
I got Osama bin Laden on the line, John Walker here, Taliban, and let's give big Jimmy Ricky. Jimmy, you there?
Yeah, right here.
Guess who I got?
Drew Barrymore?
I got Drew Barrymore in the phone. Hey, Drew Barrymore in the house.
Hi.
Drew, you are too much. So what's going on? Is Tom...
I want to talk to her.
All right, Osama bin Laden wants to talk to you.
How you doing?
You are too... I loved you in Firestarter, man.
Yeah, you're good in that movie. Let's talk about Charlie's Angels. That's a good...
Oh, Charlie's Angels, that's a good movie.
That's John Walker, Drew.
Hi, John.
And Osama bin Laden, you know him.
Hi, Osama.
How you doing, babe?
So, look, what's up with Tom Green?
I don't know, you know.
He's divorced you? You're sweet. Why would he divorce you?
Well, he's not divorcing me.
He's not divorcing you?
I like Drew and Playboy.
Okay, just shut up, will you, John? He's nuts.
I tell you, he's a retard, you know?
Okay, Osama. So you divorce him?
Yeah, he only has one ball.
Oh, the one nut?
I knew it. See, I knew that was it.
One nut. So that's it. One ball, is that it?
Yeah, you know, and I just did shooting blanks.
Okay, double killer music, will you, for crying out loud? You gonna get in here now? They gotta hear. Who is here? Rudy? Rudy, come on, sit down.
How you doing?
Good, good. You know John Walker?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
Osama bin Laden on the phone.
Hello, Rudy.
Osama, I hope you come home soon.
Okay.
So what's going on?
We have got a wonderful thing on a lipstick. We've got the toilet paper. We've got the soap. Get in need of everything. Going to have it. You know the toilet paper?
I don't know. Osama.
Huh?
You know a toilet paper?
What's that?
What is it?
What you do is you take this, wipe your ass.
You're kidding. You're putting me on.
No! I got the stuff today. So get rid of the back toilet paper, soap. John, you like that?
I want to play his soap.
Well, he needs soap.
No doubt about it. You like the soap, huh, John?
Yeah, I love it.
We've got that too, baby. So you come down to the bazaar there. We have everything that you want. And, of course, we got three big comics this weekend, too, there at the Kabul Cellar. I want to say Ali Poundstone is going to be playing there, and also Osama Green. So don't miss it, okay? It's going to be a great weekend. Okay, I got to get out of here before this thing goes more. Drew, thank you, baby.
Okay.
And Osama, thanks a lot, man.
You know.
And John Walker, you... Get out of here. Get a bath, will you?
Radio Free Afghanistan with Jumpin' Jovial Johnny Jab. We'll be back in just a minute on The Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let me check my website. Things are happening on the website. What? They don't have the clips up yet?
I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to kill somebody.
Looking for the clips of Bobby Dooley, R.C. Collins, Jay Santos, all 12 clips that we played yesterday, which you can now vote on our website. Who was the best guest of the year 2001? And we singled out a guest a month. In the month of January, to give you an example, it was Jeff Dowder. In the month of February, to give you yet another example, it was Ted Bell. On and on and on it went. And then we want you to vote after listening to the clips. But are the clips up on the site yet? They're not yet, but I know the guys are working as hard as they can upstairs. Go to our website. There's just a lot of stuff jamming on the website this week, including, of course, our big webcast, which is happening on Friday. And I would like to thank the great people, Ken Davis and all those guys at Channel 5, for bringing us in on Thursday so we can shamelessly and repeatedly, ad nauseum, plug our webcast and not answer any questions directly. Just say, thank you, Carlos, for asking me that. By the way, our website is going to be having a webcast.
So, Phil, when did it all start for you?
You know, it started for me right after I thought about having a webcast on Friday the 21st.
And, Phil, why are you wearing that sports jacket today?
Well, I thought I'd try it on. I'm wearing it on the webcast.
Just that.
Now, Craig said to me just a moment ago, hey, Phil, yeah, why don't you talk about something you know? Why don't you talk about LSD? I said, okay. Here's a story, one of those anecdotal things, those interesting morning show tidbit kind of stories. Santa linked with drugs. A scientist says magic mushrooms may help Father Christmas fly. He says the story of flying reindeer came from Lapland, where people used to drink so-called magic mushroom, or where people used to feed so-called magic mushrooms to their herds and then drink the animal's urine. They received the drug in a more processed form, making it similar to LSD. Dr. Ian Edwards, head of education at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Edinburgh, told a seminar the legend of flying reindeer originated with the Sami people. He told by the way, you can go on like a Finnish website or something, and the Sami, this is another one of the world's trodden minorities. They got a whole hard-on going on up there. The Samis, S-A-S-A-M-I, or however that's pronounced, Yeah, they're treated like crap by the fascist Swedes or something. Seriously, I couldn't believe it. It says, you know, if you want to know more about Finland, please download this information. And by the way, the long-oppressed Sami people, for 1,500 years, they've been trod upon by the fascist Gestapo of the, you know, North Pole police or something. And as a result, they've got the problem. And they used to feed red and white fly agaric mushrooms to their reindeer, then drink the animal's urine. Drinking the urine would give them a high similar to taking LSD. One of the results was that they thought they and their reindeer were flying through space, looking down on the world. Dr. Edwards also suggested the red coat of Father Christmas could have been inspired by the bright color of the mushroom. Now, this is very interesting stuff. You know, they said years ago that the entire New Testament was inspired by a tribe of people in the Middle East that ate mushrooms, and that Jesus was a completely imagined guy, and all of this came from drug use. All of our mythology came from drug use. I would ask the question, guy feeds mushrooms to his reindeer, and then he drinks the reindeer's urine. Why don't you just eat the mushrooms yourself, you idiot from Lapland? No wonder the Sami people are trod on. Trod on them some more. They're drinking pee. They're drinking reindeer pee. Yes, for thousands of years, the Sami people, they've had their rights as a culture. Well, what culture? You really think I ought to be promoting your culture, you pee drinkers? There comes a time when we say, you know, your culture is not worth promoting, Sami. Yes, the ancient pee drinkers of what? The ancient pee drinkers now. Now you're going to tell me about who? The Sami people? Yeah, well, they're the ones that came up with reindeer that flew and Santa Claus. Well, that's acceptable. They were drug users, right?
Yeah.
But they were pee drinkers.
Right.
Okay, they're off the list, man. They're not protected by anybody. The UN's pulling out. That's all you had to tell me, man. We'll go to the wall for anybody. Palestinians, Afghanis, even those cats in Sri Lanka. The pee-drinking Sami people, man, are on their own.
Well, I think it's very racist of you.
Yeah, well, maybe it is. Drinking the urine would give them a high similar to taking LSD. LSD, how do I put this? You don't hallucinate like that on LSD. You don't imagine that you're flying over the world. You see things, and you can hallucinate things off of that. You see the walls breathing. That's a very typical LSD hallucination. Streets narrow. You could be looking at, for instance, a dichondra lawn, and suddenly it turns into a paisley pattern. You see patterns in things. But you know at all times that you're walking on a street. You're not, for instance, flying with reindeer. Now, interesting experience. I walked out of a house once years and years ago. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And I had used a hallucinogenic. And I sat in my car with three of my friends who were similarly intoxicated, and we saw something. And I said, what is that? And my friend, the people with me, oh, Mike, what the hell is it? We see this thing coming down the street. What is that? Well, it was a street sweeper. Just a normal street sweeper. But you see, your synapses were not lining things up. Somehow, this three-wheeled thing with brushes on it. What in the hell? I mean, if it had been if Star Wars had come out, you know, this is like pre-Star Wars, that would have, was it the Emperor's machines there? You know, those big walking things? I said, what in the hell? I don't know, man. Do you know what that is? I don't know, man. Look at it. It's coming down the street. Wait a second. And then somebody said, I'm sure, said, wait a minute, man. I know what that, it's a street sweeper. A what? A street sweeper. What do you mean? I mean the things that sweep streets. They got a brush on them and they, oh, yeah. That's the kind of hallucinating that one generally does. Thank God it wasn't a Zamboni machine. What's the guy doing out here? This whole idea of flying through space, I don't buy any of it. Now, in the 19th century, now, LSD, you may not know this, LSD was synthesized from a mushroom of the ergot family, E-R-G-O-T, I believe is how it's spelled or pronounced. And the guy that originally synthesized this doctor, he was a Swiss doctor back in the 40s or 30s, did so off of this mushroom or this kind of fungus. It was a fungus. Now, this was a wild-growing fungus in Europe, and there is anecdotal information that a village in Belgium in the 19th century was poisoned by ergot. There was ergot poisoning in this village, and for like 3 days, the people of this village were hallucinating. Can you imagine like a modern hallucination of whatever music you chill, a Radiohead or something? What were they getting stoned to in 19th century Belgium? Sitar? What do you mean, sitar? And apparently they got it from, I think you're right, Chris, they got it from some fungus that was naturally occurring on their food. It had infected the food, and they ingested it. And so for 3 days, it was like this madness, you know, that affected this town. Of course, it comes down to us. I believe that everything is magnified. Historically, everything gets magnified larger than it actually was. Today, we're told that an entire village went mad. It might have been just like a bunch of people in a tavern got high, and you know, and they wandered out on the streets screaming, and so they thought the whole town went nuts. Now, they tell us that hallucinogenic drugs gave us werewolf legends, ghost legends, vampire legends. They tell us that it was the active use of hallucinogenics that gave us all of these myths that we know. I never came up with any of that crap. I didn't even know what a street sweeper was coming down the street. What were these guys? Oh, and one other thing that we actively hallucinated and came to be, Angela Lansbury. But I got to tell you, anyway, I'm sure someone actively hallucinated Angela Lansbury, and now she's with us. She's alive. She's doing her thing. I will tell you that it's not a very good thing to do. It's a very dangerous drug, extremely dangerous, and don't do it. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Well, maybe just one. No, I'm kidding. Don't do it. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, if you thought I was joking about that lipstick in Afghanistan, there's a huge demand for lipstick, according to one of the street merchants there who used to sell burkas, and now he sells lipstick. I've sold more in 10 days than I sold all last year. About 40 women have put in orders for his first shipment of nail polish banned by the Taliban. He used to sell only burkas, the all-encompassing dress that the Taliban required. His unsold stock of the tent-like covering floats from hooks in his stand like so many brown, blue, and white ghosts. He says he sold an average of 20 burkas a month until December, and now he hasn't sold a single burka the last week. And why not, man? They're outstanding-looking fashion. You haven't sold any burkas? No, I'll sell some muumuus too, okay? Hey, look, I got burkas and I got muumuus. Man, I got the... This is bound to make me a lot of money. What are you guys doing to me? What if there was a culture where you can only wear a muumuu? It was just banned. Everything else, you must wear or culottes. And the Taliban is demanding all women wear culottes. I'm sorry, it just, God, what an oppressive regime. Culottes! Every time that whole upskirt thing, it just went, you know, belly up. And what else? Yeah, the guys have got to wear muumuus. The women, the men and the women, culottes and muumuus. That's all. It's the repression of a culture and a society and a government based around some kind of clothing. Only Bermuda shorts. Only Bermuda shorts, only muumuus, only every discredited kind of clothing. The fully discredited kind of clothing that we know in the West, muumuus leads the list. And then culottes is another big one. And then what else? Pedal pushers? And what? Pedal pushers are back. Hip huggers are back. Big-ass bell-bottoms ain't back yet. Not them big ones. The Taliban requiring all women to wear bell-bottoms. And then, of course, there's the thong. And, you know, if the Taliban would just bring that back, you guys would be brought back, too. Come on. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And we are going to have an episode of Carl Cedilia coming up, Chef Carl Cedilia. Cigarette pants and tube tops, yeah. I remember the Taliban was enforcing that for a while. And we'll be back with more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, the other thing that's a recurring every year that, you know, for instance, Wizard of Oz used to be shown on TV every year. I don't think they do it anymore, do they? You can rent Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz is the subject of two very interesting, apocryphal, anecdotal, sort of subsidiary tales. One is that if you were to start the heartbeats at the very beginning of Dark Side of the Moon on the third MGM lion growl, then Dark Side of the Moon becomes the absolute perfect soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz. Lines like, we're only ordinary men, is when the Tin Man appears, and just all of these, what are wholly coincidental moments, occur with a synchronicity that I guess was astounding to the stoners that initially listened to Dark Side of the Moon while watching Wizard of Oz. Probably men in their late 20s, on break from college, smoking big fat joints, and decided, hey, let's put on Dark Side of the Moon and watch Wizard of Oz. And they did, and they came up with it. Well, it's become legend, just like 420 is some jive legend. Now, add to that, the Wizard of Oz scene, and I don't exactly know where it is, but I do know this. The camera pans back. Dorothy, the Lion, and the Tin Man and all of them go, we're off to see the Wizard, and they're dancing down the yellow brick road, okay? And the camera pans back to show the yellow brick road as it wends its way down into the landscape. And, of course, the backdrop is the blue sky and maybe the Emerald City's back there, I don't know. Well, what it is a huge curtain or a huge lot canvas upon which is painted all these things. Now, you can see silhouetted behind that what appears to be the dark shadow of a man climbing up three steps and then jumping off, and it looks like he's dangling, like he hung himself. Well, this, down through the years, has been repeated so many times, and people have rented Wizard of Oz and have watched for this, that they're sure some guy hung himself on the MGM lot as they were shooting this scene from Wizard of Oz in one of the big studios there. Just so happens that the day they shot We're Off to See the Wizard, some guy couldn't stand it anymore and hung himself at MGM. Now, we were talking about this on the air one night, and some old-timer calls me. God damn, you know, the guy says, I'm tired and sick to my belly of hearing the story. And I said, well, were you there? Yes, I was there. Well, what happened? Well, I'll tell you. The guy's name is, and he gave a name. His name was Eddie Brown, and Eddie was rolling up some canvas and getting some paint, and he dropped the canvas somehow so that the silhouette of the guy dangling or hanging was him dropping this canvas off of a stepladder. He was trying to store stuff. He says, I know the guy. Is he alive? No, he's dead. Geez, are you kidding? You got to be pretty old to remember having worked on the lot when Wizard of Oz was being shot. And this old-timer, you know, he was old. But he said he knew the guy. He said, no, he didn't hang himself, for God's sake. The guy went up the thing. But all of these stories, they take on a life of their own and become whatever they become. Legendary bullcrap. I know a lot of you listening to me right now, you don't know about this scene from Wizard of Oz. Go home now, because I know a lot of you have Wizard of Oz somewhere in your video collection. Light up a big fat, have yourself a glass of milk, and watch this scene from Wizard of Oz. All right, here's Jerry on the Phil Hendry Show. Jerry?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, look, I was calling about the flag air mushroom.
What's that?
This is a rumor I heard. Can I just tell you the rumor?
Okay, rumor you heard about.
I heard that if flies land on this mushroom, that it absorbs stuff through this mushroom, and then it kills the mushroom. I mean, it kills the fly, okay? And that's how the mushroom lives. It absorbs the fly through that. And if a bunch of reindeer are out there eating these mushrooms, okay, they're going to be gone within instant. So then people are going to be trying to figure out what's going on with their reindeer while they're dying. And then they're going to get these urine samples from these reindeer, and they're going to get some on their fingers, and then that's it, man.
So that's what you figure these Lapland guys did.
That's
reindeer,
about the best explanation to me.
And then when they found out that it was the urine, they began feeding their reindeer these mushrooms and then actively drinking the urine.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's what it says. They would feed so-called magic mushrooms to their herds and then drink the animal's urine.
Oh, that's what it says?
Well, according to this idiotic story, which is...
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's all... You know, they make this stuff up anyway.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that no people other than the Sami people would be dumb enough to drink reindeer pee when they could just go ahead and eat the mushroom.
Oh, you wouldn't have to worry about that, you know, with me or nothing like that. Anybody else around here?
Are you part Sami? All right.
Yeah, we're just ordinary people from the United States. We just, you know...
Yeah, we take our drugs straight.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Thank you. All right, let me see. We have our clips back up on the website, I am told, by my good friend, Mr. Pelton. Let's check over here. Nope, they're not up yet. You lying sack, Pelton. I don't see no clips up on my website. No, you didn't see nothing. They're not up. But go to philhenryshow.com and be tantalized by the clips that may be up there any minute now. And vote on them, and when you vote on them, we'll find out which was the number one guest of the year on the Phil Henry Show. Here's Ross. Ross, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, thank you.
Love your show. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
On the reindeer issue, the fly Amanita or Amanita muscaria, as the scientific name is very toxic. And initially it started up in Siberia that the tribesmen, the tribal leaders under ceremony, would actually eat these mushrooms, and quite often they'd die. When they didn't die, they found out that they could drink the urine of their tribal leader and have the same type of experience. So these Laplanders or Sami or whoever they are, instead of taking the chance of getting croaked, they'd give them to their reindeer so that the reindeer would process the poison, and then what they would get out would be the hallucinogenic properties, and that's why they did that.
So eating the mushroom straight would cause death?
Yes, quite often.
And these guys actually went so far as to taste the urine of their tribal chiefs?
Yes. That was the way it was originally.
But I suppose that's the way the simple peoples, and I call them simple, the more primitive peoples got around to testing things scientifically. They just had to drink each other's urine or something. I'm serious. How else would they do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe.
Who are these Sami people? How do you know about this? Do you know about these Sami people?
Well,
is this pre-Christian? Is this pre-Christian Scandinavia?
Oh, yeah. This was a long time ago. I mean, we're talking, you know.
Thousands.
Pre-Russia, pre-everything.
So these are animistic, you know, tribal people who are worshiping a pantheon of gods.
Exactly.
And they probably had human sacrifice of some kind.
Right, right. You know, and on the ergo thing,
yeah,
that actually grows on rye.
Okay, that's what I thought, rye bread, and these people were poisoned by it.
Yeah, and there's accounts all throughout history, I mean, in the Middle Ages especially, where towns would go mad and they'd blame it on demons and all that stuff.
And it was this ergo
crap.
Because
they got a little rot in their rye. And
how come we don't get any of that? We don't have any of that anymore. I haven't heard of a town going ape in a long time. Well, I've heard of soccer riots. Does that count?
might account for it.
Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, buddy.
Later, bye. No, we don't have ergo poisoning anymore. We just have hooligans roaming the streets drunk on Guinness Stout. It's a strange thing, but they drank this stuff called beer, and they went nuts! And it's called Cleveland Brown fans. 1-800-449-8686. That guy was very interesting, and I could have stayed talking to him until, like, the top of the hour, but I realize it's a whole lot of stuff that's going to sail over everybody. Well, it's not sailing over everybody's head, but who wants to talk about the Sami reindeer people of Lapland getting high on reindeer pee? I mean, if it had anything to do with sex, we could have continued, but... Yeah, how about reindeer milking? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now on The Phil Henry Show, it's time for Chef Carl Chodilia. and some of his delicious Christmas recipes.
Oh, boy. Hey, how you doing? This is Chef Carl Sedalia. It's time now for a rich, wonderful Christmas, and we're going to make ourselves a dip. You like a dip? You want to take a cracker and put it in a dip? Well, you have to make a dip for it. Hey, I tell you what. Let's pour ourselves a cocktail. Let's get a nice Christmas cocktail. Get ourselves a dry sack or a martini or Rossi. Mix it up with some 7-Up. Put a maraschino cherry in there, some whipped cream, and just a dash of red currant. And boy, enjoy that by a crackling fire with a cheese fondue dip with big hunks of sourdough bread and garlic spread. Oh, Boy, I think about that. I can feel the pain shooting down my left arm. Can't you? That, I'll tell you, it is just delicious. You know, this Christmas holiday, everybody, it's great to have a nice, thick cheese dip, big hunks of garlic and cheese and mayonnaise. And let's bring our friend Phil Henry. How you doing, Phil?
I'm good, Chef. What are we making today?
Well, Phil, I'm going to... Here, have some of that. How's that? Isn't that great? That's our Chef Carl Cedilia special. That's our dip.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's really good.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Ah, I know you like it better than that. Come on, have some more.
No, I really don't.
Have some more. All right, Phil Henry's going to go get sick in a corner. That's what often happens when you have Chef Carl Cedilia's great cheese and mayonnaise dip. First you get sick in the corner of a room, but then you're back for more. You know, this Christmas season, I think about Christmas time. I think about all the great, wonderful cheeses that we can eat and all the great sour cream we can eat. And it's Christmas. I'll tell you what you do. Get yourself a hunk of sourdough bread. That's right. Dip it in melted butter. Now put it in the oven and bake it until the bar's all baked in, okay? Have another drink of your martini and Rossi or dry sack, okay? Now take that out of the oven and then dip it in the cheese and then immediately into hot oil. So you deep fry the cheese onto the soaked garlic bread with the butter. All right? And then, have a little taste of that, huh? Isn't that great? Boy, you can feel a tightness in the middle of your chest. It's a deep stabbing pain down the left arm and the shortness of breath. That's what you want to have with a great Chef Carl Cedilia cheese dip and garlic spread. We're going to be right back after this. I got so many more things to tell you about, okay? Oh, ow, 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 my left arm, ow, ow. I'm just kidding. We'll be right back.
Chef Carl Cedilia will be back with more recipes in a moment.
Hey, friends, Chef Carl Cedilia here, and now it can be yours, the cheesemaker. Yes, it is an amazing thing, and my friend Ron Popiel, he refused to do it, so I'm going to admit it, but you can make cheese by throwing fat into a bowl and whipping it. And then you take the cheese and freeze it, and you've got a block of frozen cheese. It's really just frozen fat, but you can call it cheese. So have your friends come over to the house, cut off slices, and say, would you like some cheese? They'll say, geez, this is frozen fat. It's fantastic, and it's exclusively from Chef Carl Cedilia. Now we have also the pork fat and bacon fat. So get yours today.
Now back to Chef Carl Cedilia. I think I'm going to be sick.
All right. Welcome back here on our beautiful Christmas day. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. After you have that big, deep-soaked cheese sourdough bread, and then you have a massive heart attack there in the middle of the kitchen, you fall down, you're dead, right? Well, I'm going to lay you out in a box in the living room. That's called a wake. And what are you going to serve at your wake? What I think you should do is get crackers with sour cream and dill weed topped with olive oil and grated cheese so that when your relatives walk by the box that you're laid out in, they can go, look at that. It looks pretty good. As they're eating a cracker with some big, thick sour cream and grated cheese and olive oil, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like it. But trust me. You can trust me. You can trust your children with me. You can trust your children under the age of 5 with me. They can spend the night with me. Trust me. Every result can. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia. Okay. Now, after you've died from a heart attack and you go to heaven, you're going to want to sit down and negotiate with God whether you go to heaven or slowly cook in hell. Now, if you're slowly going to cook in hell, you're going to want to be dipped in a delicious cheese. That's right. So when you go to hell and they're cooking you on a spit down there for all the obnoxious, horrible sex crimes you committed, make sure that they cook you wrapped in a deep fondue. And I'll be right back to tell you a little bit more about that after this.
We'll be back to tell you more about the cheese you should be dipped in if you're slowly cooking in hell from the sex crimes you committed on Earth on the Chef Carl Cedilia Show.
Hey, everybody, I want to bring my little friend Eddie in. Eddie, say hi to everybody.
Whatever.
Yeah, Eddie and I have got a great thing. It's the Chef Carl Cedilia Spit. You just get any kid that bothers you. Come on, Eddie, get up there.
Don't hurt me.
And you tie him on and just fire away. You've got slow-cooked kid with a half an hour. Chef Carl Cedilia, slow-cooked kid. Just look at the address here at the bottom of your screen. Oh, there isn't an address by the bottom of your screen? You listen on the radio? Excuse me, I just had to spit some of the cheese out. So look at the address at the bottom of the screen.
Now back to Chef Carl Cedilia.
All right, now you're in hell after you died from a massive heart attack. Now, what you want to do, after you've died, make sure that you want to let your wife know this or your husband or whoever. Tell the mortician to replace your blood, not with formaldehyde, but with cheese. That's right. Have them pump liquid Velveeta right into your veins. Pump it in there. You're a little happy as a sumbitch sitting there, laying there in a box. All right? Now, let's remember, you're on your way to hell. And by the way, cheese whiz works very good, too. It's a squirt can, whatever you want. The bacon and cheddar is delicious. Love the American cheddar or bacon cheddar. Now, you're cooking in hell. What would you want to be cooking? Well, that's right, a cheese. Nice cheese fondue. So slowly bake yourself in a cheese fondue, and the devil and everybody comes up and has a big bite out of you, huh? That's how you do it. Chef Carl Cedilia Show. Hey, listen, everybody, I got to go for this week. Remember, if you die of a massive heart attack from eating the garbage that I'm pitching on my program, make sure that you're cooking slowly in hell from all the sex crimes you committed on Earth in a good, rich, thick cheese that you made with the Chef Carl Cedilia Cheesemaker, and you'll see that address come over the body screen. Till next week, God bless everybody. Have a wonderful Christmas. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia. I can't breathe.
Good God, get the pump.
I can't breathe.
Get the pump, Bob. I don't care if we are on the air. Get the pump.
Good God, he's dead.
Chef Carl Cedilia is dead, probably cooking in hell, so his program won't be on next week. This is Johnny speaking.
So that we're not going to hear him next week then? He's dead?
He choked on the cheese in his own veins. Chef Carl Cedilia, a great guy.
All right, it's Phil Henry Show here. Just one more thing. There is a great Sammy website, so check it out. It's www.itv.se/... I don't know what it is, but it's a website about Sammies. And they've got a whole pitch here about how their native rights have been stolen by the fascist, communist, bastard government of Sweden. They can no longer hunt the Morro Bay kangaroo rat. I don't know what it is. It's always a native person can't hunt a whale. Somebody can't hunt a seal. They can't hunt carp with spear. Now the Sami can't go up there, and they can't get the Morro Bay kangaroo rat with their traditional mouse trap, with the traditional Sami mouse trap. All right, so check that out, man. Also, don't forget, on Friday, our webcast, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. That's the Phil Henry webcast, and that'll be happening on Friday. And, of course, on Thursday, we're on Channel 5's Morning News. All right? Is that it? Good. 1-800-449-8686. You all right, Chef?
I can't breathe.